الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we had read the eighth principle with regards to the fundamentals of الدعوة السلفية, and the author, he was mentioning a transmission from Sheikh Abdul Latif رحمه الله تعالى. And in that transmission, he mentioned a number of examples from history, how there were oppressive rulers and there were great trials and tribulations with regards to political authority. Yet the people of knowledge, they refrained from delving into that, especially those from the notables of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, and their students. In this portion here, there's a missing paragraph that was not in the translation. So we go back and read that portion where there's parentheses examples from history. Then he struck examples, and then he mentioned the case of al-Hajjaj, and then likewise, despite these crimes, Ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu had given him allegiance and the likes like this, mentioning these affairs and the tyranny of al-Hajjaj. After this, there's a portion he mentioned which is very important. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, says, وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرُ وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ الْحَجَّاجِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ لَا يُنَازِعُونَهُ وَلَا يَمْتَنِعُونَ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ فِيمَا يَكُمُ بِهِ الْإِسْلَامُ وَيَكْمُرُ بِهِ الْإِيمَانُ وكذلك من في زمنه من التابعين كابن المسيب والحسن البصري وابن السيرين وابراهيم التيمي واشباههم ونظرائهم من سادات الامه. He mentioned رحمه الله تعالى in the same context to further emphasize Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما along with those companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who lived during the time of Al-Hajjaj, did not oppose his authority. They did not withhold their obedience to him in matters that upheld Islam and fulfilled the requirements of faith. Similarly, the Tabi'in of that era, such as Ibn al-Musayyib and al-Hassan al-Basri, Ibn al-Sirin, Ibrahim al-Taymi, and their counterparts from among the eminent figures of the Ummah, also did not rebel or dispute his authority. Also did not rebel or dispute his authority. And then after this, the portion came, وَاسْتَمَرَّ الْعَمَلُ عَلَى هَذَا بَيْنَ عُلَمَّا الْأُمَّةِ مِنْ سَادَاتِ الْأُمَّةِ وَإِمَّتِهَا. This practice of obedience to rulers, whether righteous or sinful, continued among the scholars and the leaders of the Ummah. يَأْمُرُونَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ مَعَ كُلِّ إِمَامٍ بَرٍّ أو فاجر كما هو معروف في كتب أصول الدين والأقاعد. They consistently command obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving in His cause alongside every ruler as documented in the books of the fundamentals of the deen and the creed. Of the deen and the creed until the end of his statement, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this was a portion that was missing from the translation that is important to mention. So we continue reading. He says, "Rahimahullah, al-aslu al-tasi' munabadatu ahli al-bid'ah wa-tahdhiri minhum. Munabadatu ahli al-bid'ah wa-tahdhiri minhum. The ninth principle, opposing the people of innovation and warning against them, opposing and doing away from them, turning away from them entirely and warning against them." And warning against them. The author, he says, أَجْمَعَ السَّلَفُ عَلَى مُنَابَذَةِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ وَالتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا حَكَاهُ عَنْهُمْ الْقَاضِي أَبُو يَعْلَى وَغَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْمُحَقِّقِينَ. So the pious predecessors unanimously agreed to oppose the people of innovation and warn against them, as reported by Al-Qadhi Abu Ya'la and other investigating scholars. And the other scholars who go into great details to verify the evidences and clarify the correct understanding. وَمِمَّا يَجْدُرُ التَّنْبِيهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْقَضِيَةِ أَنَّ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَ فِي زَمَانِنَا هَذَا يَتَسَتَّرُونَ بِلِبَاسِ السُّنَّةِ
ويختفون خلف اسمها خلف اسمها بينما هم غارقون في البدع يعرف ذلك كل من نظر إليهم عن قرب واطلع على ما يتسارون به من جزئات وتنظيمات ومحاولة خروج على الحاكم المسلم ونكث للبيعة ونحو ذلك.
A key observation in our time, the people of innovation disguise themselves in the attire of the Sunnah. This is a key observation to pay attention to. He says, in our time, the people of innovation disguise themselves in the attire of the Sunnah, hiding behind its name while they are in reality deeply immersed in innovation. Anyone who observes them closely and examines their private meetings will find evidence of their partisanship, secretive organizations, attempts to rebel against Muslim rulers, betrayal of the Pledge of Allegiance and other things, claiming to be upon the Sunnah and calling to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and ascribing to a Salafiyya many times, but in reality, they're deviant. Immersed in innovation. Anyone who observes them, meaning with knowledge of these fundamental principles and that which opposes them, and closely examines their private meetings, will find evidence of their partisanship. Many times these people outwardly, they display that they're upon the Sunnah, but if you get to know them personally, they'll show you another face, and they'll expose their hidden reality, and they will speak in contradiction to what they say in public, on the minbar, or in their classes and the likes like this, and they have two faces in reality. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ They display one face in public and another face in private meetings. Contrary to that, they will praise the imam or the ruler outwardly and the likes like this, but then in their personal and private meetings, they'll plot and plan against him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And seek to rile up the people against him in secret and in private. So anyone who observes them closely and examines their private meetings will find evidence of their partisanship, secretive organizations, attempts to rebel against Muslim rulers, betrayal of the Pledge of Allegiance, and other things, So a Muslim who lives in a Muslim land, he has an allegiance to the ruler of that land. And this is the Sama' wa ta'ah that was discussed in the previous class, listening and obeying, that you have an allegiance to listen and to obey the Lord, the ruler of your land, and those whom you live underneath his authority. Those rulers, one a believer, he has an allegiance, to obey him and that which is lawful and that which is permissible, and to establish the religion under his authority, So this is the case here. They will seek to violate that and to betray that in private, so on and so forth, and sow corruption and discord and hatred in the hearts of the believers. So he says, وَهَذَا أَدَّعْبُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ هُوَ دَعْبُ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ قَدِيمًا وَبِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ تَرُوجُ بِدْعُهُمْ وَتَثْبُتُ فِي الْقُلُوبِ وَقَدْ رَوَى إِبْنُ بَطَّى رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْإِبَانَةِ Ibn Battah, rahimahullah, he died in the year 287 approximately. He has a number of great works. One of them is called Al-Ibana, with regards to the creed. It's one of those books that are from Kutub Al-Aqa'id Al-Musnada. We discussed them before. He says, وَقَدْ رَوَى إِبْنُ بَطَّى رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي الْإِبَانَ بِسَنَدِهِ عَنْ مُفَضَّلِ إِبْنْ مُهَلْهَلْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وَأَحَدُ الثِّقَاتِ الْعُبَّادِ أَصْحَابُ السُّنَّةِ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لَوْ كَانَ صَاحِبُ الْبِدْعَ إِذَا جَلَسْتَ إِلَيْهِ يُحَدِّثُكَ بِبِدْعَتِهِ حَذَرْتَهُ وَفَرَرْتَ منه ولكنه يحدثك بأحاديث السنة في بدو مجلسه ثم يدخل عليك بدعته فلعلها تلزم قلبك فمتى تخرج من قلبك.
So the author, he says, rahimahullah, this behavior of the innovators in our era mirrors the behavior of the innovators of the past. Through such actions, their innovation spread and take root in people's hearts. Ibn Battah, may Allah have mercy on him, narrated in Al-Ibana with his chain of narration from Mufaddal, Ibn Muhalhal, rahimahullah, one of the trustworthy worshippers and adherents to the Sunnah, who said, if a person of innovation were to immediately discuss his innovation when sitting with you, you would be cautious and flee from him. However, he begins by narrating to you from the Sunnah and the start of the at the start of the gathering. However, he begins by narrating to you from the Sunnah at the start of the gathering, then gradually introduces his innovations. Then gradually introduces his innovations to you. It might settle in your heart, and when would it ever leave? It might settle in your heart, and when would it ever leave? Meaning that they're very treacherous. It's even been mentioned by some of the Salaf that one of them, it would be said to him, and he's from the deviant people, that they would send him to a particular land and to a particular village, and they would tell him just to sit in the masjid and sit on the pillar and recite the Quran and study day in and day out and attend the five daily prayers for some time until you're well known. Then after that, the people, they will see you and recognize you as a devout worshiper, and then after that, you begin to call to your deviation. You begin to call to your way. You begin to expose any the creed. So they would use decisive ways. And there, it's mentioned about the people of innovation, they're like scorpions hiding under the sand. Whenever a person is not looking, they will strike you with their tails. They'll strike you with their tails. They're buried under the sand, hiding in this manner, waiting to strike whenever a person is not paying attention and when he's vulnerable. So this is from the deviant ways of the misguided. They take advantage of these affairs. If they meet you directly in opposition to the Sunnah and declare truth, the people will be cautious from them and they will flee from them and not listen to them. But they come in the guise of the Sunnah, and they come with the claims to love Islam, to raise the legislation, to establish the deen of Allah, so on and so forth. But in reality, they're deviant, and their understanding and their methodology is contrary to that which was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which leads to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla. Rather, they are from those callers that are calling at the gates of the hellfire. Du'atun ala abwabi an-nar. Waliyadhu billah. So the author, he says, ولهذه العلة الملحوظة ولهذه العلة المحوظة وهي دخول البدع في القلب خشية علوقها به كان السلف رحمة الله تعالى عليهم لا يستمعون للمبتدع كلاما ويحرصون كل الحرص على الابتداع على الابتعاد عن المواطن التي يتكلم فيها أهل البدع. So here, this notable lesson, due to this danger, the possibility of innovations entering the heart and becoming firmly lodged within it, the pious predecessors, may Allah have mercy on them, refrain from listening to the speech of innovators and were extremely cautious about avoiding gatherings where they spoke. The author, he says, وَقَدْ رَوَى بْنُ بَطَّى فِي الْإِبَانَةِ رَحِمَّهُ اللَّهِ أَيْضًا بِسَنَدِهِ عَنْ مَعْمَرِ أَنَّهُمْ قَالَ كَانَ إِبْنُ طَاوُوسِ جَالِسًا فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْمُعْتَزِلَ فَجَعَلَ يَتَكَلَّمُ قال فأدخل ابن طاووس إصبعيه في أذنيه وقال لابنه أي بني أدخل إصبعيك في أذنيك واشدد ولا تسمع من كلامه شيئا قال معمر يعني أن القلب ضعيف يعني أن القلب ضعيف. So here he mentions now that Ibn Battah رحمه الله, he reported in Al-Ibana with his chain of narration from Ma'mar ibn Rashid, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great scholar of hadith and teacher of Abdul Razak al-San'ani, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. He says, Ibn Tawus was sitting when a man from the Mu'tazila came and began speaking. Ibn Tawus put his finger in his ears and said to his son, O my son, put your fingers in your ears and press firmly. Do not listen to anything, he says. Ma'mar commented on the reason for this. He says, This is because the heart is weak. He doesn't want to listen to anything he has to say. He does not want to listen to anything he has to say, nor does he want his family to listen to anything he has to say, because the hearts are weak and people are tried by these doubts and misconceptions and by these deviations. And sometimes the shubuhat, they enter into a person's heart, and if he's not careful, they don't come out, or it's very difficult for them to come out. He will be tried by them, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, وَقَدْ رَوَى بْنُ بَطَّى أَيْضًا رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْمُشَارِ إِلَيْهِ سَابِقًا أَثَارَ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَبِيلِ فِيمَا أَخْرَجُهُ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّزَّاقِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَالَ لِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ بْنِ أَبِي يَحْيَى وَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ أرى المعتزلة عندكم كثيرا. قلت نعم. وهم يزعمون أنك منهم. قال أفلا تدخل معي هذا الحانوت حتى أكلمك؟ قال قلت لا. قال لما؟ قلت لأن القلب ضعيف والدين ليس لمن غلب. والدين ليس لمن غلب. So Ibn Mubattah likewise, rahimahullah, he reported from Abdul Razzaq, yani al-San'ani. He says Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Yahya, a member of the Mu'tazila, he said to me, and he's speaking about himself, Abdul Razzaq al-San'ani, he's from Yemen, from the great scholars of Hadith, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 211. He says that this man, Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Yahya, this member of the Mu'tazila, he said to me, I see that there are many Mu'tazili amongst you. I see that there are many Mu'tazila amongst you. And where you're coming from, I find that I see that there's a lot of them around you, or a lot of them amongst you in that land. He says, I replied, yes. And they claim that you're one of them. They said, yes, that's right. There's a lot of them from where I'm coming from, and they claim you're one of them. He said, you will not. He said to me, now at this time, will you not come with me into the shop so I can talk to you? And let's sit down and talk about these affairs. So he said, I said, no. He asked why. He asked why not. I replied, because the heart is weak and the religion is not for the one who overpowers or overcomes in discussion and debate. So he says, وأخرج ابن بطة أيضا بسنده عن سعيد بن عامر أنه قال حدثنا السلام بن أبي مطيع حدثنا السلام بن أبي مطيع أن رجلا من أصحاب الأهواء قال لأيوب السختياني يا أبا بكر أسألك عن كلمة. قال أيوب وجعل يشير بإصبعه ولا نصف كلمة. So he says here that Ibn Battah also, he narrated from Sa'id ibn Amir, rahimahullah, that Salam ibn Abi Muti' said that a man from the people of desires, the people of innovation, said to Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani, he's from the greatest scholars of the Sunnah and narrators of Hadith. He died in the year 131. It's been mentioned by Imam Malik, rahimahullah. He said, if I ever narrated to you on someone, I never narrated to you on anyone more better and virtuous than Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani. And this man here, he was strong and firm on this one. Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani, rahimahullah ta'ala. You can say it, Sukhtiyani. It's come like this to people of knowledge. They mentioned the scene here is Muthallatha. Wallahu Adam, he was a great scholar of hadith. He was strong and firm on the people of innovation and deviation. There's other narrations about him likewise. Whenever he was going with some of his companions to wash a body, someone who was deceased, whenever they entered upon the man to wash him, Ayyub rahimahullah ta'ala uncovered his face. Whenever he looked at him, he changed his demeanor. And then he covered him back up and he left. And he says, Alaykum bi sahibukuma, innahu min ahl, innahu kana yumashi ahl al-ahwa. He said, you all wash him. You are watching because I know him. He used to walk with the people of desires. He used to walk and accompany the people of desires. And he refused to wash him. And he let the others wash him. And the likes like this. Because he has a stance and a position with regards to the people of innovation. So he says here that a person of desires, he came to Ayyub, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, Ya Abu Bakr. And this is his kunya. Ya Abu Bakr. May I ask you a question? Ayyub, he began pointing with his finger, saying, no, not even half a word. And he don't ask me nothing. Don't say anything to me. Don't bring your fitan and your trials and your doubts and your discussions and your quarreling and arguing in the affairs of the religion this way. I have no time for that. Not even half a word. Wala nisfa kalima. Not even half of a word. So the author, he says, فَهَكِذَا كان السلف رحمة الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين يعزفون عن الاجتماع إلى المبتدئ بل يحذرون من ذلك لئلا يلج في القلب شيء من بدعهم فتحصر عندئذ الهلكة فكيف بالله يكون قولهم في من يجالس المبتدئ ويحضر دروسه فلا شك أن كلامهم في هذا سوف يكون أشد وأقوى. Thus the righteous and pious predecessors, may Allah have mercy on them all, avoided listening to innovators entirely. and they even warned against doing so, lest something of their innovations enters the hearts and leads to destruction, and it leads to misunderstandings and deviation in the religion, leads to doubts in these affairs of creed and methodology and the likes like this. This is the worst trial. The worst trial, to be tried in one's religion, and to be tried by doubts and misconceptions, and to not have certainty with regards to the proper creed and methodology and way of life, to have doubts about the understanding of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the worst of all trials. This is the worst of all trials. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So they're afraid of this. They're afraid to be tried in their religion. So you have to take the means in order to keep your religion pure and safe. And from that is you don't listen to everybody and you don't read everything and the likes like this. And you're cautious and careful who you learn your religion from and where you take your information from and the likes like this and who you entertain, their ideas and their thoughts and their ideologies and their thoughts and their teachings and education, the type of cultivation that they're upon, because many people deviate. Many people deviate after seeing the truth and they fall into doubts and misconceptions because of the people that they listen to, the people that they sit with, and the things that they read, and the company that they keep, and the company that they keep. So he says, so by Allah, what do you think their stance would be on someone who associates with an innovator and attends their lessons or watches them on YouTube in the morning and the evening, we can add additionally, right? Or listening to their audio, so on and so forth. Surely their words in such cases would be even harsher and more decisive. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, walidha, lamma qadima Sufyan al-Thawri al-Basra, ja'a liyanzur ila amri al-Rabi' ibn Sabih, wa qadrihi inda an-nas, fasa'ala madhhabihi, faqalu lahu ma madhhabuhu illa as-sunnah, ay laysa na'rifu min madhhabihi illa as-sunnah, faqala man batanatuhu, qalu ahlul qadr, qala huwa qadri. Qala huwa qadri. The author, he says, for instance, when Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he died in the year 161, arrived in al-Basra, he began observing the status of Rabi' ibn Subayh and his reputation amongst the people. He asked about his belief, and they replied, his belief is nothing but the sunnah. And there is this well-known individual, whenever he came to Basra, this individual is well-known and respected by the people, Rabi' ibn Subayh. He's respected by the people. So he's asking about him. What is this person's creed? What is this person's belief? And they replied, his belief is nothing but the sunnah. We know him to be upon the sunnah. Sufyan, rahimahullah. And then he asked, who are his close associates? They said, the people of the Qadr. And meaning the people who deny and have doubts and misconceptions with regards to the affairs of the Qadr. Sufyan replied, rahimahullah ta'ala, then he is Qadri. Then he is Qadri. And it's been narrated similar like this from a number of the Salaf. From them, Al-Auza'i, who died in the year 157, and likewise Ibn Mubarak, who died in the year 181. Both of them have similar statements. Both of them have similar statements. They would say, man khafiyat alayna bid'atuhu lam takhfa alayna ulfatuhu. The one who his innovation is hidden from us, his companionships and friends and associates are not hidden from us. So a person who would be exposed by his companions, by his friends, and by the company that he keeps, and those who he runs with, and those who he comes and goes with, and the likes like this, those whom he's known by, and they're known by him, and he from his companions, and from his friends, لِأَنَّ الصَّاحِبُ سَاحِبُ يَسْحَبُكَ إِلَى مَا هُوَ فِيهِ, because the sahib, the companion, it's a sahib. He's going to pull you along with him wherever he is going. If he is involved in innovation and deviation, that's what he's going to pull you into along with him. You're going to be affected by him. And the people of knowledge, they say, mujanasa, 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 mujanasa. You can't help but be affected by them. Well, so the people are affected by their friends and their companions and those whom they keep around them. So This is in the days of the Salaf. They would recognize individuals and their true inner creed or belief or their methodology or that which they like and the likes like this by observing their friends and companions. A person, he will only hang out and associate with people that he likes and respects and that he has an acquaintance with and that which he has things in common with. And the people of knowledge, they say, الطيور على أشكالها تقع, الطيور على أشكالها تقع. You know the translation of that one? الطيور على أشكالها تقع. على أشكالها تقع. Birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. So this is the case. الطيور على أشكالها تقع. So the people of deviation, they accompany each other. And the people of the sunnah, they accompany each other. And a person of the sunnah will never find any reason to accompany the people of innovation. He cannot stand it or bear it to be in their company, to be in their company. So then this is the case to identify the people. And in these days, we have companions that are not like those days. These phones and these devices and this any وسائل الاتصال والتواصل and the likes like this, any following and liking and all of these other means of communicating and being in touch with each other and the likes like this, all of this is very dangerous if a person, he's not clear about his methodology and his way, about his creed and his belief and the application of that. I mentioned in previous classes that this WhatsApp and the WhatsApp status many times is in reality al-fadhiha. Al-fadhiha. People exposing themselves, exposing their relationships and their true realities, claiming that they're Salafi, and they put on their various status things, they put on their various status any post for people that is in opposition to Salafiyya, or for ideologies of opposition to Salafiyya, or even just blatant sins and the likes like this. Waliyadhu billah. So if a person is going to post something that's beneficial, post something that's reliable, post something that's trustworthy, post something that is going to be good for oneself and for the people. But many people, they can't help but follow their desires, and they post things that expose them and clarify their true reality. This is the same thing that the people of knowledge used to do by looking at their companions. By looking at their companions, look who they follow, look who they go around, look who they're in touch with, look who they're posting and reposting for, look who they're spreading, look who they're calling to, and the likes like this. This is a means to identify a person. Wallahi, if you learn these fundamentals and you understand them properly and you implement them in your life and you're sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will open your heart. You'll be able to see. You can identify people before they even come through the door. You can just hear a few traits and qualities and you'll know which group they're from, because these groups have traits and qualities. The Tablighi and the likes like this, they have special traits and qualities. And they have madaris, madrasa in South Africa. It's got a name. And another one here in Hind, it's got a name. You learn about these affairs and you see a person from a mile away, you can identify him. You have an intuition to know who he is. And all you have to do is minimal research, or just speak to him one time and it's exposed. Alhamdulillah, you knew it before he even entered. Likewise with the people claiming Salafiyya, so on and so forth. Just by doing some very minimal research, or even just by filling him out for just a moment, based upon knowledge, not suspicion and not accusation, but some people, it's clear. It's clear that they're not upon the Sunnah. The Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah, they have traits and characteristics that distinguish them. And these people who are in opposition to that, they have traits and characteristics that distinguish them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَارِكَ. I left you on the clear white path, the bayda, and it literally means white, bright white. This night is like its day. No one goes away from him except for he's destroyed. Can you imagine someone with a white thobe? If he gets one speck on it, it's going to stand out. The people are going to see it. I mean, you got something on your thobe. This is the example of the creed and the methodology. Whenever a person understands it properly and it holds it right, it's like he's wearing a white thobe. A white thobe is very clean and pure. It can be seen far away, and he's distinguished. He's distinguished by his creed and methodology. يكون غريبا على الناس. He's different from the rest of the people. طوبى للغرباء. Because he's holding fast to that way. So he's going to be considered a stranger. So people who try to come and imitate or claim in the likes like this, it will stand out. Any blemish that comes to that thobe will stand out. Any blemish that comes to that methodology will stand out. But not for those who do not know. So those who know, these things will stand out like a blemish on a white thobe. You'll be able to see there's something wrong. There's something wrong with that. That's not right.
That's not the methodology that we learned. That's not the foundations, the fundamentals that we studied and learned from our scholars. This is something contradiction. This is something contrary. This is something new. This is something in opposition to the fundamentals. So wallahi, we have to learn. We have to learn and be sincere. If you have general guidance to the methodology of the Salaf and you see that it's the haqq, then now you have to learn in detail. Now you have to learn in detail that haqq and apply it in your life and strive to learn likewise after that which is in contradiction to that haqq, contradiction to that methodology, contradiction to that aqidah, and contradiction to that methodology in order to be safe. In order to be safe, because a person, if he does not know evil, he will be tried by it. If he does not know evil, he will be tried by it. And he will even think he's doing something good, but in reality, he's in the worst of the affairs, falling into innovation or hizbiyah in the name of Salafiyyah, in the name of the Sunnah. And the likes like this because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of insight and understanding, or because of a lack of sincerity and a lack of honesty and truthfulness and integrity and faith, or because of a lack of determination and patience. Or because of a lack of determination and patience. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, يقول ابن بطة رحمه الله في الإبانة تعليقا على قول سفيان هذا رحمة الله على سفيان الثوري لقد نطق بالحكمة فصدق وقال بالعلم فوافق الكتاب والسنة وما توجبه الحكمة ويدركه العيان ويعرفه أهل البصيرة والبيان. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم. The author, he says that Ibn Battah rahimahullah, he mentions in Al-Ibana in his commentary on the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on Sufyan al-Thawri. He spoke with wisdom and spoke truthfully. And he spoke based on knowledge aligning with the Qur'an and the Sunnah and with what wisdom necessitates, what is evident through observation and what is understood by those of insight and clarity. Allah the Almighty, he says, O you who believe, do not take as your bitana. Do not take as your bitana. The bitana, yani your advisors and your close friends and counsel and companions, and the likes like this. Do not take as bitana, advisors and consultants, any consolation and protectors, helpers and friends, those outside of your religion, any meaning from the pagans and the Jews and the hypocrites, and likewise from the innovators, since they will not fail to do their best to corrupt you. They desire to harm you severely. So a person of the Sunnah, he keeps company with the people of the Sunnah. And it's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. It's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. And even a person of the Sunnah, if he really begins to seek knowledge and to learn, he will not have time to have relationships with his friends. Rather, he will prefer to be alone a lot. He will start to love to be alone and by himself, studying and reviewing and reciting and learning and memorizing and researching and the likes like this. And this will preoccupy him in the sweetness and joy that he finds in that research and that study, taking notes and the likes like this, and going into details of affairs and verifying issues and narrations and topics and subjects and masail and the likes like this. He will lose himself in this Jannah, in this worldly life, Riyadh al-Salihin, yani men from the gardens of the righteous, yani seeking knowledge and learning and benefiting. He will be lost in these gardens and not have time to hang out with the brothers and the likes like this. And then he will no doubt have time sometimes to hang out with the brothers, but even whenever he's forced to hang out with the people, he's feeling lonesome. He finds comfort whenever he is alone with the books and studying and reviewing and reading the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. This has likewise been narrated from Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. Some of the people came to him after Isha and they said to him, why don't you ever sit with us and talk after Salah? He said, what am I going to do with you guys? He says, I go home and I sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he died in 181. He never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nor the Sahaba, and only maybe and not even wallahu alam some of the Tabi'een and the likes like this. You understand? He died in 181. He's from the Atba' Tabi'een. From the Atba' Tabi'een. So he didn't even meet the major Tabi'een. He says, I go home and I sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. What am I gonna do with you guys? You sit around and backbite the people. What am I gonna do with you guys? You sit around and backbite the people. What is he talking about? Books, he goes and reads and studies and reviews and reads in the biographies and studies and researches and the likes like this. This is what a person, yani he will strive to do. Alhamdulillah, seek knowledge, learn, seek knowledge and learn. So many opportunities we have in these days to learn from books and from audios and from recordings and from live broadcasts, even in our very own homes, alhamdulillah. May Allah allow us to take advantage of these means and these beneficial ways of learning. So the author, he says, وَيَقُولُ الْفُضَيْرُ بْنُ الْعِيَاضِ وَيَقُولُ الْفُضَيْرُ بْنُ الْعِيَاضِ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ دَارٍ 187 الْأَرْوَاحِ جُنُودُ مُجَنَّدَةِ. This is actually a narration authentic on the Prophet. This portion here is Al-Arwah Junudun Mujannada Famata Arafa Minha Tarafa Umatanakara Minha Tarafa. This portion here is marfu'ah, and this is actually a narration, authentic narration on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He mentioned this fudail. Then he says, Wala yumkinu wan yakuna sahibu sunnah yumali'u sahiba bid'ah illa min an-nifaq. Illa min an-nifaq. Al-Fudail, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, the souls are like gathered troops. Those that recognize each other, they will come together in harmony. And those who reject each other, they will differ. And then they will not get along nor hang out together. And it is not possible for a person of the Sunnah to ally with a person of innovation unless it's due to hypocrisy. What is he going to be doing with the innovators? What is he going to be doing with the deviant? What is he going to do with somebody who is in opposition to a fundamental principle that he believes in and follows? What's he going to be doing with that person? What's going to carry him to have an allegiance with that person, to have a type of love for that person, except for hypocrisy? قال ابن بطة رحمه الله تعليقا على ذلك صدق الفضيل رحمه الله فإن نرى ذلك أيانا. And he says that Ibn Battah رحمه الله comments on this, and Al-Fudail, he spoke the truth, for we see this with our very own eyes. And we see people doing the likes of these affairs. So he says, rahimahullah, فَلَقَدْ بَلَغَ مِنْ تَحْذِيرِ السَّلَفِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ الْمُبْتَدِعَةِ أَنَّ أَحْمَدْ بِنْ سِنَانِ قَالَ لَأَنْ يُجَاوِرَنِي صَاحِبُ طُنْبُورِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ يُجَاوِرَنِي صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةِ لِأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الطُنْبُورِ أَنْهَاهُ وَأَكْسِرُ طُنْبُورِ وَالْمُبْتَدِعُ يُفْسِدُ النَّاسَ وَالْجِيرَانِ والأحداث. يفسد الناس والجيران والأحداث. The Salaf were exceptionally strict in warning against innovators, as illustrated by the words of Ahmad ibn Sinan. For he says, for a man who plays the tambourine, any musical instruments, singing and the likes like this, to live near me, as my neighbor is more beloved to me than for an innovator to live near me. This is because I can stop the man with a tambourine and break his instrument. But the innovator, he corrupts the people, the neighbors, and the youth. There are many narrations similar like this. Maybe some of them, they will come. But to clarify that, he's not praising the person with the tambourine. This is not an appraisal of the person of the tambourine. We understand this? So many times the likes of these affairs will be mentioned. The likes of fornication, the likes of drinking alcohol, the likes of deviation and sin and falling into sin and transgression and the likes like this, compared to innovation. They'll say, I prefer this over that. So this is not to belittle or to take light or insignificant the sins. No, the Salaf warn from sins likewise. But sins compared to these affairs of innovation, much lighter in comparison. They're much lighter in comparison, meaning that innovation is severe. And the troubles and trials that come from the innovations are greater than those that come from sin. So this is the point. He says, وَيَقُولُ ابْنُ بَطَّ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ تَعْلِيقًا عَلَى هَذِي الْمَوْضُوعِ يَقُولُ اللَّهَ اللَّهَ مَعْشَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَا يَحْمِلَنَّ أَحَدًا مِنْكُمْ حُسْنُ ظَنِّهِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَا عَهِدَهُ مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ بِصِحَةِ مَذْهَبِهِ عَلَى الْمُخَاطَرَةِ بِدِينِهِ فِي مُجَالَسَةِ بَعْضِ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْأَهْوَاءِ فيقول أداخله لأناظره أو لأستخرج منه مذهبه فإنهم أي المبتدع أشد فتنة من الدجال وكلامهم ألصق من الجرب وأحرق للقلوب من اللهب. Ibn Battah رحمه الله, he further comments on this topic saying, and in this portion here, O Muslims, fear Allah, do not let anyone among you, out of a good opinion for themselves or their confidence in their correctness of their belief, risk their faith by sitting with the people of desires. Do not say, I would engage with them and debate with them or extract their ideology, and I will correct them and the likes and refute them. Indeed, they are a greater trial than the Dajjal.
Their speech is stickier than scabies and burns the hearts more intensely than flames. So these affairs, they're very dangerous. These affairs, they are very dangerous. He says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ جَمَاعَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ كَانُوا يَلْعَنُونَهُمْ وَيَسُبُّونَهُمْ فَجَالَسُوهُمْ عَلَى السَّبِيلِ الْإِنْكَارِ وَالرَّدِّ عَلَيْهِمْ فَمَا زَالَتْ بِهِمْ الْمُبَاسَطَةُ وَخَفِيُّ الْمَكْرِ وَدَقِيقُ الْكُفْرِ حَتَّى صَبَوْا إِلَيْهِمْ. I have seen groups of people who used to curse and insult them, and he's speaking ill of the people of Desires and Innovation, but then they began sitting with him, and under the guise of refuting and rejecting their ideas, their casual conversations, hidden deceit, and subtle disbelief persisted until those people inclined towards them, meaning they were until they were affected by them and became from them. Until they're affected by them and they became from them. We know the story of Imran ibn Hattan. He's the one who praised the Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, the one who killed Adi. He has poetry about him. He was from the scholars of Hadith. And there was a woman he was going to marry. She was Khadijiyan. And he said, you know what? I'm going to change her. I'm going to call her to the Sunnah. And she called him and he deviated. The author, he says, Rahimahullah, فَلَقَدْ شَاهَدْنَا أُولَٰئِكَ فِي زَمَانِنَا هَذَا يَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ نُجَالِسُ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُبْتَدِعَ لِأَجْلِ مُنَاصَحَتِهِمْ وَلِأَجْلِ الْإِطِّلَاعِ عَلَى مَنَاهِجِهِمَ السِّرِّيَّةِ الَّتِي يُخْفُونَهَا حَتَّى نُحَذِّرَ مِنْهَا فِيمَا بَعْدُ ثم بعد ذلك يقعون في حبائلهم ويسيرون عونا لهم على أهل السنة عافانا الله وإياكم من ذلك. He said, we have seen in our time those who claim we sit with these innovators to advise them and to uncover their hidden methodologies and agendas so that we can warn others about them later. Yet after such interactions, they fall into their traps, becoming allies to them against the people of the Sunnah. May Allah protect us and you from this. He says, فَهَذَا هُوَ مَا قَرَّرَهُ السَّلَفِ وَعَلَيْهِ فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ خَافَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الْفَسَادَ وَالضَّلَالَ يَلْزَمَ هَذَا الْمَنْهَجِ وَنْ يَسْلُكَهُ فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ عَنْ عِلْمًا نَقَسُوا وَعَنْ عِلْمًا وَقَفُوا. He said, this is what the Salaf firmly established as a principle. Therefore, it is obligatory for anyone who fears corruption and misguidance to adhere to this methodology and follow it. By Allah, these individuals, referring to the Salaf, retreated from such interactions out of knowledge and stood their ground firmly with clarity. يقول الحافظ ابن عساكر في تاريخ دمشق في تاريخ دمشق في ترجمة أحمد بن عون الله وأحد علماء السنة ناقلا عن أبي عبد الله محمد بن أحمد بن مفرج كان أبو جعفر أحمد بن عون الله محتسبا على أهل البدع غليظا عليهم مذلا لهم طالبا لمساوئهم مسارعا في مضارهم شديد الوطاءة عليهم مشردا لهم إذا تمكن منهم غير مبق عليهم وكان كل من كان منهم خائفا منه على نفسه متوقيا. Al-Hafidh ibn Asakir, he mentioned in his work, The History of Damascus, and the biography of Ahmad ibn Aunillah, one of the scholars of the Sunnah, quoting Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Mufarrij, Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Aunillah used to be relentless in holding the people of innovation accountable. He was stern with them, humbling them, exposing their faults, hastening to harm their interests, and unyielding in his stance against them. He would not spare them when he could act against them. Every one of them feared for their safety because of him and avoided him. لا يداهن أحد منهم على حال لا يسالمه وإن عثر لأحد منهم على منكر وشهد عليه عنده بانحراف أو بانحراف عن السنة شو بيسأل السنة نابذه وفضحه وأعلن بذكره والبراءة منه وعيره بذكر السوء في المحافل وأغرى به حتى يهلكه أو ينزي عن قبيه مذهبه وسوء معتقده ولم يزل دؤوبا على هذا جاهدا فيه ابتغاء وجه الله إلى أن لقي الله عز وجل وله في الملحدين آثار مشهورة ووقائع مذكورة. He said he would not tolerate any of them under any circumstances, nor would he reconcile with them. If he uncovered any objectionable behavior or deviation from the Sunnah, he would confront and disgrace them publicly, disown them and mention their faults in gatherings. He would pursue them until they either renounced their reprehensible beliefs or were eliminated. He remained steadfast in this pursuit, striving solely for the sake of Allah until he met his Lord. He was well known. He has well-known accounts and notable incidents in dealing with the heretics, and dealing with the people of deviation and misguidance. So this was the firmness and the sternness of the people of the Sunnah, of the Salaf al-Salih, with regards to dealing with the innovators. So this is a role model and example to follow. They did this based upon knowledge and based upon light and great love and care and concern for the proper understanding, creed and aqidah, and the correct methodology and application of the religion. So this is in preservation of the deen. But unfortunately, like we have seen in these classes, and the author, he mentioned in that there are people who misunderstand these affairs, and they misuse these affairs, and they exploit these affairs. We find in these days people who claim to follow the likes of these narrations, that they apply them to their brothers from Ahlus Sunnah. That they apply them to their brothers from Ahlus Sunnah. And they treat their brothers from Ahlus Sunnah in this manner. They will have a falling out or a difference of opinion with them or dispute with them and the likes like this many times in worldly affairs likewise. And they will treat their brothers the way the Salaf treated the innovators. And this is in reality a trait from one of the deviant sects that appear today. They're known as the Haddadiyya, the followers of Mahmud al-Haddad. And from their main traits is that they treat the people of the Sunnah the way of the innovators. Especially the mistakes of the scholars or the people of the Sunnah, they will treat those mistakes the way the Salaf treat the innovators. So there's a difference in the methodology of dealing with the people of Sunnah whenever they're right and whenever they're wrong, and dealing with the innovators, regardless of whether they're right or they're wrong. So we treat the innovators in a particular way. La karama lahum hum ahlul bid'ah, the people who are known to be from ahlul bid'ah. But the people who are known to be from the Sunnah, then they have the respect and honor of the Sunnah. And if one of them makes mistakes, we deal with him in a manner according to the principles of Ahl Sunnah. We don't treat them the way that we treat the innovators. And we don't apply these narrations that are applied to bona fide innovators to our brothers from Ahl Sunnah. And many times when you look at them and you ask both of them, they all have the same teachers and they all have the same creed and they all have the same methodology. But for some reason, this fitna is occurring. It's because desires have come into the hearts, and a lust and love for position and authority has come in the hearts. This is what happens whenever these affairs occur. So whenever the people, their creed is sound, and the foundation of the methodology is sound, yet they're still disputing, then there's nothing there except for desires. Then there's nothing there except for desires. One of them is following their whims, if not both of them. So to not be confused of these affairs, because some people, they implement these very same narrations on the people of Sunnah. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. This is not what is intended. This is not what is intended. Al-Imam Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a work that's called Al-Sharia. In the end of that work, he has a chapter that's called Bab Dhikri Hijra, Ahl Bid'ah wal Ahwa. He has the chapter with regards to boycotting the people of innovations and desires. And he mentions in this work, his chain of narration to those, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise to the companions and the tabi'een. Some of these narrations here are also collected in this work as well. We read some of them now, that which he mentions. I have them summarized. Anyway, this is with the chain of Al-Imam Al-Ajuri rahimahullah. He says, An Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, إِذَا لَقِيتَ صَحِبَ بِدْعَ فِي طَرِيكٍ فَخُذْ فِي غَيْرِهِ. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, he died in 132. He said, if you meet a person of innovation on the pathway, then take another pathway. And you go the other way. You don't even want to look at them or be in their company. You don't even want to give them salam and the likes like this. You just move around. These are for the people who are known to be innovators. These are for the people who are known to be innovators. And likewise, this is in the times whenever the people of the Sunnah, they have authority and power. So even these affairs here, they have details in the application of them. They have details in the application of them. He says, وَأَنْ أَيُّوبُ قَالَ كَانَ أَبُو قِلَابَ يَقُولُ لَتُجَالِسُ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَلَتُجَادِلُوهُمْ فَإِنِّي لَا آمَنُ يَجْمِسُكُمْ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ أَوْ يَلْبِسُ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ بَعْضَ مَا لُبِّسُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, رحمه الله, he is narrating from Abu Qilaba. Abu Qilaba is from the Tabi'in. He died in the year 104. He said, do not sit with the people of desires, nor debate with them. I fear that they may immerse you in their misguidance or confuse you in your religion by making unclear to you what has been made unclear to them. And then also he says, رَحِمَهُ دَخَلَ رَجُلَانِ عَلَى مُحَمَّدِ بِنْ سِيرِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ نُحَدِّثُكَ قَالَ لَا قَالَ نَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ آيَةً مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَالَ لَا قَالَ لَا لَتُقُمَنَّ أَنِّي أَوْ لَأُقُمَنَّ فَقَامَ رَجُلَانِ فَخَرَجَا. Two men from the people of desires, they came to Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. He died in the year 110. He said, Ya Abu Bakr, let us narrate something to you. He said, He replied, no. They said, let us recite a verse to you from the book of Allah. He said, no, either you're going to get up and leave or I'm going to get up and leave. So the two men, they stood up and left. He says, rahimahullah, an Hisham, ja'a rajulun ila al-Hasan, faqala ya Abu Sa'id, ta'ala ukhasimuka fi al-din, faqala al-Hasan, amma ana faqad absartu dini, fa'in kunta aghlalta dinaka faltamishu. And it's been narrated by Hisham that he says that a man, he came to Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he died in year 110. Likewise, he said, ya Abu Sa'id, come and debate with me about religion. Al-Hasan, he said, rahimahullah, I have already seen clarity in my religion. If you have lost your religion, then go look for it. If you have lost your religion, then go look for it. You need to go argue and debate with somebody else. I know what I'm upon. I don't need to debate with you. I don't need to argue with you. I don't need to go back and forth with you. I don't have nothing to prove. I know my religion. I know my deen. Alhamdulillah. Man rabbuk? Rabbi Allah. Alladhi rabbani. Rabba jami' al-alamin bini'amihi. Huwa ma'budi laysa li ma'budun siwa. This is the fundamentals. I know my deen. I'm not going to argue with you and debate with you. Ana rabbuk. Rabbi ala sama'. And if he's sama, he's above the heavens in a manner befitting his majesty. There's no need to debate with these people, to argue with these people, to go back and forth with these people. At bare minimum, they're going to waste your time. At bare minimum, they're going to waste your time. The people of fitna, the people of trials, the people of debate, the people of argumentation, the people want to go back and forth, this one and that one and this one and that one. And many times they don't go beyond Sheikh said. They don't even bring any evidence or any proof, anything clear and solid and sound from the sunnah. Or from the Quran or from the Sunnah and the likes like this. And they have these misunderstandings. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.